Hello, and welcome to episode 3. In this episode, we will be discussing the diagnostic criteria for prediabetes and how to prevent or delay the progression to type 2 diabetes. So the exam question scenario would be a 26-year-old male with a strong family history of type 2 diabetes who has a body mass index of 39 and has an A1C of 6.1%. And the question will ask you, which of the following interventions should be performed? Start dilaglutide or Trulicity, refer to medical nutrition therapy, refer to an intensive behavioral lifestyle program and repeat A1C in 3 months, or start metformin and refer to behavioral lifestyle intensive program. And the answer here would be the last choice, which is starting metformin and an intensive lifestyle behavioral program. And that is because this individual is considered at a very high risk, and he has an A1C that is between 6 and 6.4% and has a body mass index that is above 35. Also, medical nutrition therapy by itself is not an adequate form of intervention, and dilaglutide has not been shown to delay the progression to diabetes yet. So we will begin by defining what prediabetes is. So the diagnostic criteria based on the ADA standards of care is one of the following three tests: an A1C between 5.7% and 6.4%, or an impaired fasting glucose between 100 and 125 milligram per deciliter, impaired glucose tolerance, which is defined as a blood sugar between 140 and 199 2 hours after 75 grams of carbohydrate intake. So prediabetes as a category was made to identify individuals that are at a very high risk for progression to type 2 diabetes. Without intervention, about 10 to 50% of these individuals will progress to type 2 diabetes within the next 5 years. The strongest predictor of progression is A1C. Patients with an A1C above 6%, so between 6 and 6.4%, will have a very high risk of progression, somewhere between the 25 to 50% in the next 5 years. To understand our current strategy to prevent diabetes, we have to discuss the details of the diabetes prevention program. The DPP was an NIH-funded study that took patients with prediabetes and randomized them into 3 separate groups of placebo, intense lifestyle modification, or metformin therapy. And they followed them for 3 years to see the risk of progression to type 2 diabetes. And what they found is that the risk of progression is lowest in the lifestyle arm, who witnessed about a 58% reduction, followed by the metformin arm, which witnessed about a 31% reduction in progression compared to placebo. Now, when they looked closer at this metformin arm, they actually found that metformin was as effective as lifestyle intervention in a specific group of people. And these are the younger age group, patients with a very high BMI, BMI of above 35, and those with a history of gestational diabetes. Metformin was also cost-effective in the long run. So when looked at over 10 years, metformin was pretty cost-effective. So based on these study results, the ADA Standards of Care 2023 states that in order to delay the progression to type 2 diabetes, you must refer adults who are overweight or obese at high risk of progression to an intensive lifestyle behavioral program. Now, in order to be specific, what they really mean by an intensive lifestyle behavioral program is something similar to what the DPP did. So patients were given a weight loss goal of 7% of their body weight, and they were encouraged to do that in the next 6 months. They were informed to abide by a healthy diet, but no specific diet was mandated. They were told to restrict their calorie count by 500 to 1,000 calorie deficit, depending on the baseline weight. and they were also told to do at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week, something like brisk walking, with a goal of losing approximately 700 calories per week through exercise. They were also given a curriculum through classes that focuses on exercise, calories, the psychology, and motivation of weight loss and lifestyle intervention. Now, what about metformin? Well, the ADA standards of care say that metformin should be considered in high-risk individuals. What does that mean? Individuals specifically between the ages of 25 to 59 years old with a body mass index equal or above 35, and those with a baseline A1C that is between 6 and 6.4%, or a fasting plasma glucose that is above 110, and those with a history of gestational diabetes mellitus. Remember, these are the same individuals who witnessed a pretty good response to metformin in the diabetes prevention trial. So these same individuals should be considered to starting metformin. And that does not mean that metformin is an alternative to a intensive lifestyle modification program. It's used in addition, or it's considered in addition to that lifestyle modification. Now, what about other medications other than metformin? Well, the ADA says that in patients with prediabetes and a history of stroke, pioglitazone was shown to lower the risk of stroke or myocardial infarction. But this needs to be balanced with the risk of weight gain and edema that we see with pioglitazone, and also needs to be balanced with the increased risk for bone fractures. So when used, pioglitazone is recommended at low doses. What about weight loss medications? Weight loss medications can be considered on a case-by-case basis, but it's not recommended as a blanket statement to all patients with prediabetes. Remember that there is no FDA-approved medication for delaying progression to diabetes, so these are all off-label. And while metformin is recommended by the ADA, there are other medications that were proven in studies to delay the progression, and these include liraglutide, semaglutide, pioglitazone, acarbose, insulin, even testosterone in patients with hypogonadism. There are medications that actually worsen the progression to diabetes or increase it, and those are the statins. So while statins should be used when indicated in patients with prediabetes, these patients should undergo regular monitoring and they should be advised heavily to focus on the principles of diabetes prevention and lifestyle that we discussed earlier. In the next episode, we will be discussing glycemic targets in diabetes control, such as A1C, continuous glucose monitors, and finger stick testing. Thank you for listening.